Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Ali Al-Yami, who is the founder and director of the Center for Democracy and Human Rights in Saudi Arabia. A native of Saudi Arabia, he has lived in the United States for many years, where he has advocated for political reforms in Saudi Arabia and provided testimony regarding human rights in Saudi Arabia before the Congressional Human Rights Caucus. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ali Al-Yami.
Thank you.
And the report by Amnesty International that came out Thursday, 73-page report, is very, very critical of Saudi Arabia. And of course, I don't think there's any surprise to our listeners that the United States has a very hypocritical relationship with Saudi Arabia. It preaches democracy to everybody in the world except Saudi Arabia. And this report seems to indicate that Saudi Arabia is deliberately and aggressively going against the Arab Spring, I guess, is the best way to put it.
That's right. I mean, these are documented facts, and one of the examples is that the Saudis were adamantly against the downfall of Mubarak, and also for trying him in court. They are now working on uniting the last absolute monarchies, including Jordan and Morocco, to form a unity, supposedly, and to counter Iran's influence, but in fact they are organizing this group of monarchs to derail any democratic reforms in the Arab world.
Do you have any information, Dr. Ali Al-Yami, that the Saudis are financing the Salafists in Egypt? The Salafists have done surprisingly well in these elections, and along with the Muslim Brotherhoods could form a significant majority.
The Salafists in Egypt, the number is very small, and these are documentation. There is a book called The Looming Tower by, I believe, Christopher Wright, and it shows all the Saudi monies that go to different groups in the whole world, not just in Egypt. So it is documented, yes. But just to add to this comment you just made, and I'm not very concerned actually about the Islamists, whether in Egypt or Tunisia or Yemen or anywhere, to gain much power, because the people want something very different, and the Islamists have nothing to offer. They have nothing to offer except religious totalitarianism, and that's not what millions of Arabs are demonstrating against and dying for. So I can understand the apprehension about Islamists taking over, but I think that is over-exaggerated, maybe, but the test will come. But I'm very convinced, knowing what I know, that the Arabs want something a whole lot better than the Islamists could offer to them.
But what they have in Saudi Arabia is the most oppressive form of Islam, the Wahhabism. They have religious police, and they have an absolute monarchy that there's no parliament, there's no even pretense of anything else. And you can be put away for 10 years for just criticizing the king.
Well, no, you are not. Criticizing the king is totally unacceptable, and it could it cost people a whole lot more than 10 years in prison. And you are absolutely right. Saudi Arabia is ruled by an absolute nomadic tribe called the House of Saud. And they consider the country as their private company, actually, and the people happens to be there as employees. They didn't believe in sharing power. There is no accountability. There is no transparency. And there is no religious freedom, no woman's rights, no human rights, no civil society. And it's their days will be coming too. It's a matter of time, not only because of internal uprisings and dissatisfaction with the situation in Saudi Arabia, but the international community, including especially the West, including the United States, have realized after 9/11 that Saudi Arabia is the hornet's nest, and religious extremism cannot be defeated unless Saudi Arabia is democratized.
But they've done absolutely nothing in that regard. I mean, that they just get bribed by the Saudis, and they need the Saudis so much, particularly now with this confrontation with Iran. Now they're trying to squeeze the Iranians through the central bank, which will mean that Iran can't get paid for its oil, except perhaps with China. And Saudi Arabia is going to make up the difference. So give me a sense of what influence that the West has, or has the West really tried?
I am very frustrated with our policy towards the Saudis. In fact, 4 people were killed a few days ago, and none of our officials said one single word about these are people, according to what I know, who are actually protesting peacefully. These are in eastern Saudi Arabia. And 4 of them were shot dead. And the Western media barely mentioned it, and none of the Western officials even raised their voice. I'm frustrated with it. However, our and the whole global economic meltdown have actually put us in a very, very a precarious position with Saudis and the rest of the Gulf region's dynasties, because we are pouring a lot of money in their purses for oil, and that money that we are paying them is actually a lot of it goes to extremists and terrorists all over the world. These are not secret facts. I mean, the WikiLeaks document a few months back, quoted Secretary Clinton saying that Saudi Arabia is the biggest financier of extremism.
Well, that is there's no question about it. But again, it does seem to be, you say, the deaths of these 4 people have been swept under the rug. It seems like that. By the way, there's an interesting series now on Showtime, a very good drama on Showtime that it makes it clear that Saudi Arabia is the sponsor of terrorism. It's a dramatic film, but I was quite surprised at how honest it was and realistic it is. But specifically, Dr. Ali Al-Yami, the incident that you referred to was in the eastern provinces. And what happened was somebody was killed, an unarmed person was killed failing to stop at a checkpoint. But the others were killed the following day, and protests had erupted at a funeral. Now, that's exactly what's going on in Syria. So that seems to me the height of hypocrisy, that the Saudi Arabians are using the same brutal tactics that the Syrians are, while the Saudi king criticizes the Syrians.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's that's not only hypocritical and ironic, but it's the peak of indecency as far as I am concerned. Here is a king who ordered his soldiers to shoot his own people in daytime because they were protesting peacefully, much, much more peaceful than any other groups, because they know, Saudis know, that they will be shut down without any hesitation by the Saudi security police. And here is the king calling in Syria to stop shooting at the government of Syria, at its people. It's again, I I would like to see Western civilizations and Western democracies. I would like to see more open criticism of the Saudis, because it's actually in the West's best interest that we do not play this game, supporting revolutions and supporting revolts and, you know, in Egypt and Syria and Libya and to a degree in Yemen. In the meantime, quiet while the Saudis are shooting at their people, not only that, but they are sending their troops to crush the skulls of the peaceful Bahrainis who are also seeking justice from their own absolute chiefs.
Well, of course, all of that is blamed on Iranian conspiracies and the crackdown of the Saudis in the eastern provinces, which are largely Shia, are done under that excuse. But in terms of crushing the Arab Spring, just last week, 16 men, including 9 prominent reformists, were given sentences from 5 to 30 years. And they were blindfolded and handcuffed during their trials, and their lawyers weren't even allowed to enter the court for the first of the 3 sessions. So, of course, they use, the Saudi royal family use these terrorism laws. They're interchangeable, the anti-terrorism laws, with anybody that's pro-reform. And of course, they're holding thousands of people on these terrorist-related grounds. So, they've got this excuse, a blank check, right, with anti-terrorism.
Well, the laws, they don't need to make laws. It's absolute monarchy, and the ruling elites could do anything they want. They are not accountable to any judicial system. Everything is under their control, the judicial system, the court system, the institutions, the monies. So they control every aspect of people's lives and livelihood. But this is just to appease the international community. We have these laws and books, and people should be aware what they should or shouldn't do. But this new law that came a couple of months ago and was published today again is absolutely designed to silence people from considering any uprising against the system. And just like in the past, before this law came about, anybody, the Saudi Interior Ministry under Prince Nayef, who is now the Crown Prince, and he is going to be the king of the country after Abdullah stopped functioning, which is now, actually. He's already handling the day-to-day operation of the nation or the country. So these laws are made to use against anybody who criticize the king, who criticize Islam, who criticize the religious establishment. This is what this law specifically says. Anybody who criticizes any member of the ruling family or the religious establishment, which is they support each other, will be considered destabilizing the country and the security of the people.
Is therefore a terrorist, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time, Dr. Ali Al-Yami, but I thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Ali Al-Yami, who's the founder and director of the Center for Democracy and Human Rights in Saudi Arabia. He's a native of Saudi Arabia and has lived in the United States for many years, where he's advocated for political reforms in Saudi Arabia and provided testimony regarding human rights in Saudi Arabia before the Congressional Human Rights Caucus. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.